James chapter 1. And a song, I kept hearing the lyrics and kept hearing the words, and it says, my heart and flesh cry out.
Yeah.
And you got to think about what you're saying when you're worshiping.
Right.
You also need to know that worship is not just here at the beginning when the music is on, but it's life.
Yeah.
It's lifestyle.
Amen.
And if we focus that way and we see it that way, everything would change.
Thank you, Lord.
How many of y'all need something to change in your life? Everybody in the building, okay.
Yeah.
Everything would change for the better if we start seeing it better. If we start seeing it for what it really is, then things will start changing for the better. There's no problem that you have in your life. There's no situation, no ailment in your body, no lack in your pockets that can't be changed by the power of God.
Amen.
And God is willing, and God is able, and he has already done things for us already for that to happen. But our mindset has to change. My old time religion got to change a little bit. My old way of understanding has to change, has to be constantly renewed, and has to grow and constantly be progressing to find out what God is saying. He's always saying something. We just need change. Like more things need to change. Everybody say change.
Change.
Come on, say it again, change.
Change.
Come on, say it one more time, change.
Change.
I'm listening to this song and say, my heart and flesh cry out for you to fill me up because you satisfy me, all right?
Come on now, come on.
Fill me with power and truth. I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
Fill me with love from you because you satisfy me, right?
Yeah.
Fill me. Everybody say fill me.
Fill.
Come on, say it again, fill me.
Fill.
Come on, say it again, fill me.
Fill.
Now, we're asking God to fill us, but why do we need to be filled? Why do I need you to fill me with power and truth? Why is it that I need you to fill me with love from you? Like, what's the point? Like, I mean, why do I need this? I asked for it. We all asked for it just now, didn't we?
Yeah.
Huh? Did we ask for it?
Yeah.
Why do we need this? What is he saying when he say, oh, fill me with power and truth. Fill me with love from you. What is it saying there? What is going on? Now, I want you to do something tonight. I want you to do something real quick, and we're going to jump into the word. We're going to touch on something. We're going to touch on faith and being led. But I want you to take off your church glasses. Can we take those off sometimes? Because sometimes those are things that blind us. Just being honest. Being churchy. Being religious. The Bible said the traditions of men that made the word of God what? Whoa, we made the word of no effect because of the traditions of us. You know, tradition, the word tradition by itself, you look at it, it's not really a bad word. A lot of y'all have traditions. On Christmas, you do certain things, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Huh? That don't mean the Lord ain't there when you do the same thing you did last year that you do this year for Christmas. There's nothing wrong with the word, but it's traditions of men. Like you allowing yourself to be traditional and not revelational becomes the problem. If you don't see, the Bible talks about seeing, but you see not, hearing, but you hear not. Apostle said something a couple weeks ago, and he said it over a bunch of times. But touch, but not change. Just think about it for a second. Find out where you are. Touched, but not changed. Please write that. Put that somewhere. Please write that down. Because what needs to be done is when we come here and get the word, when we get the word anytime, I mean, you listen to a CD with the word, you hear somebody preaching with the word. Every time you get the word, you ought to be looking to apply.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to read in James chapter 1 in a minute that you got to be a doer, not a hearer only, because you deceive yourself. And I'm going to show you a deception. Touch but not change. Emotional but not devotional. Come on, put it down. Come on. Touch but not change, emotional but not devotional, knowing but not walking. I heard this statement the other night. It was on a movie, boy, and it's something my God started speaking. I heard this other night, Brandon, he said, there's a difference between knowing the way and walking the way. But it's a tricky thing because knowing is not a bad thing, right? Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free, right?
Yeah.
Knowing is not a bad thing. The Bible talks about knowing things a lot, don't it?
Right.
All right. Being emotional. is not a bad thing. We're built with emotions. Part of our soul is our emotions. You know, my will, my intellect, my emotions, all that's a part of my soul is built into me. So it's not that emotions are bad. It's not that he touched me. You know, you remember that, huh? It's not that being touched is a bad thing. We get touched on the regular. Just now we had a touch from the Holy Ghost just now, just in our worship. He's always constantly trying to touch us. It's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with being touched. There's nothing wrong with being emotional. There's nothing wrong with knowing things. The problem is when I'm touched but not changed, I'm emotional and not devotional, and I know but I don't walk. I don't do the things that I was touched to do. Fill me for what? Fill me with power and truth. For what? So I can get a little quick fix? So I can get my feel good? Is it a possibility? Listen to me, and understand what I'm saying. There's a possibility that we come here very often. The power is always moving. The power is always present. A normal place becomes a special place. But it's a possibility that we come and we be touched but not changed. I see a lot of people, we get real emotional. We hear a story about mission trips. You know what I'm saying? Or we hear something happen and we get emotional about it. And for that moment, we start crying. Nothing wrong with crying. Emotional, and we feeling it, right? But if you cry and you feel it, but you never do nothing to fulfill it, you never make any action behind that emotion, then you're missing it. I bet I can stand up right now. We're a word church, praise the Lord, right? I bet I can stand up right now. We can go, and I can go down the line. We start quoting scriptures that we know, and we'll go on for months and years. Quoting scriptures that you know. We got some Bible scholars in here. Quoting scriptures that we know. Why we don't see nothing, though? You know you don't see what you need to see. All right, hold on. Let's drop it, all right? Everybody drop your hands real quick. Just drop it. Just drop your hands. All right, because I want to just do it. Dude, just drop. I don't care about your stance. We turn it on when we come to church. Y'all heard me say that before. And nobody really wants anybody to know that you ain't really manifesting like you're supposed to. We cover that stuff up, then it get quiet. I don't get many amens. But you know it. Why lie? You ain't got the lie to kick it. Listen. Why lie? You already know that you don't have the stuff that you see in that Bible. You are, come here. All right, can I say, everybody say amen, please. I'm going to make you do it. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody in the house say loud amen. Amen. So we can be in agreement. You know as sure as I'm looking you in your eye right now that you're not manifesting the stuff that you know you're supposed to. Can we be honest?
Yes.
One of the first rules about using a map is knowing where you are. Listen, you have to admit that when they go to Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing they got to say is, I admit that I am an alcoholic. I admit I got a problem. Everybody right hand in the sky. Right hand. Everybody all in the building. Can we admit that we not manifesting like we should? Put them up like this. Let me look at you right quick. I just want to break this. Come on. Can we admit? All over the building. Can we admit it? I can't. So I hand out. So we can admit that we're not manifesting like we should. Why? It ain't apostle fault. It ain't God's fault. And it ain't Jesus' fault. How much more, I ain't even talking about this, how much more do we want him to do for us? You ever thought about all the things that have been done for you already? How many of y'all born again? Praise the Lord. Save me in my foolishness. And then forgive me when I get foolish again. Don't ask me nothing else, but you're forgiven, right? Just forgive me in my foolishness. He'd be like, you don't put my face in it. He don't push my face down in the foolishness. You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. Over and over again. How much more do we want? He created the world. He put all these beautiful things in the world. We messed it up at the beginning. Didn't we? No, we did it. I don't talk about Adam and Eve did it. We did it. Adam and Eve are our father and mother. He fixed everything. He sent Jesus. He just started putting the Bible down. He sent Jesus. Sent his only son, not just the third one.
Come on now. Come on.
Or the fourth one, right? He sent the only one.
Yeah.
to live in front of you as an example. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Live in front of you as an example and die. Go all the way to the end. Go all the way to the edge. Go all the way. Do the whole work. I'm going to die. I'm going to show you how this really works. I'm going to die for you. Died for you, then rose him up again, shed all kind of blood for you. You bruised for our iniquities. Yeah. Did all kind of stuff to save us from being broke, from being sick, from going to hell. Then he said, Jesus said, I gotta leave, but I'm not gonna leave you comfortless. I gotta go so the Holy Ghost can come back and he gonna guide you into all truth and show you things that you do not know and just teach you all this different stuff. Right. We got the Holy Ghost right now, amen. Amen. How then he give us grace. Something make you better than you are by yourself. Yeah. Then he give you mercy because he don't give you that stuff that you really do deserve. Yeah, we deserve some stuff. Hey, come on, admitters. Come on, we admitting, right? We deserve some stuff. There's some lashes and some lockups and some beatdowns that we really deserve. No, we earned it. But yet, mercy. Everybody say mercy. Come on, say it, mercy. But yet mercy, give us mercy and grace, give us faith, give us love, give us the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Give us a Bible to understand all these different things, sinners, leaders, some apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting of the who? The saints. Yeah, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body. How much more do we want? It's a problem. It is a literal up in your face problem that you're not manifesting more. That we're not manifesting more. I know sometimes people get touched. So me too. We're just not manifesting like we should. That's right. But why not? There's no excuses or the crutches of the uncommitted. Mm-mm. You got an excuse? Uh-oh. That points to your commitment. That points to how committed am I to manifest? How committed am I to manifest Jesus? Did y'all hear all those things I listed? Jesus, he shed his blood, died, got up, Holy Ghost, talking to you right now, shedding the love of God in your heart, Romans 5:5. The love of God shed upon your heart, how? By the Holy Ghost. Then he's taking you into the deep things, and he's showing you stuff that you don't know, right? And then teaching you everything. Then you got grace, and you got mercy, and you got faith, and you got love, and you got all these different things where it seems like it's a little off. It seems a little off. It seems a little off because it should be more. Could it be that we're touched but not changed? Could it be that we're emotional but not devotional? I heard that statement the other day. You're emotional. You feel it. You feel some kind of way when something needs to be done, but you don't do anything. You know the way, but you don't walk the way. You know the path, but I just don't go that way, though. As far as life is concerned, as far as the world is concerned, even like people that we're supposed to witness to, all that stuff that we say biblically and all the things that we say that we have, revelations, all those different things, those are simply opinions if there's no manifestation. Not in real life, in real Jesus life, they're not opinions. They're the way of life. But we make them look like opinions. We make God look like, we make Jesus like he's an option and not the way because of no manifestation. You even look at Jesus' life, everything he said, he backed it up with a manifestation. Oh, come on. Everything that Jesus said, he backed it up with a manifestation. There was not one time that Jesus preached something and didn't demonstrate it. Every time that Jesus talked about love and turned the other cheek, listen, it's great to say we should turn the other cheek. But then when a champion actually does it, it takes a whole other connotation. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, you know, they slap you on one cheek, turn the other. As you go 1 mile, go two with them, right? They sue you for your coat, give them your cloak, right? That's cool and that's cute, and we can preach that it's cute. But then we saw him actually do this. They actually stripped the man's clothes off his back, and he didn't fight back. They said Jesus could have called legions of angels. He didn't fight back. So when he said slap, they slap you on one cheek, turn the other one, he wasn't just preaching something to you. He was living it before you. There was always some manifestation. That's why Jesus is the way. Can't nobody tell me nothing no different. Because he talked it and he lived it. He said it, then he did it. Touch but not change, emotional, but not devotional. Knowing but not walking. James chapter 1, verse 22, and I'm going to try to get make some progress. It's a wonderful chapter to read. I think in your personal time, you should take a little time to read it someday. James chapter 1, verse 22. You read it. Ready, read. Read again. One more time. Verse 23, for if any man, any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and does what? Continue. Everybody say continue. There's another place the Bible talks about continuing too, and I don't have time to go there, but Jesus said, keep my commandments, continue ye in my word. Uh-oh. He being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the what? The work. So there's some work that need to be done, huh? This man shall be blessed in his deed, blessed in his doing. So if he continues in what he heard and is a doer and not just a hearer, there comes the blessing. All right. So if he gets emotional, nothing wrong with getting emotional. Get emotional, cry. Don't look at me on Sunday when you want to cry. I cry. Yeah. Cry when he touch you. But continue in the touch. Continue to be touched. Don't just be touched one moment, but continue to let him touch you all the time. The continual touch will bring change in you, which brings change everywhere around you. But being a doer and not a forgetful hearer. Forget. Everybody say forget. Like you ever forgot something before? Like you forgot to go somewhere, you forgot to pick something up. You just forgot, right? That means you just slip your mind like it wasn't there no more, like it didn't even exist. Being a forgetful hearer. It's possible that this powerful word of God can be preached to me in a powerful, anointed way, but I can forget it. We do it all the time. Apostles come up here and lay out some old, strong, deep, flip you out your seat revelation. But we don't manifest it. Because we're forgetful. We're hearers. We can hear a revelation, but we don't do it. Can I show you the difference? It's tricky. I was talking to somebody the other day, and an apostle came and talked to me the other day. He just come in randomly in the room and just start talking, just spitting out revelation. So I just turned my phone on. I turn my record on. I just start typing stuff down because Lord knows when I got to go preach again. So I just be typing it all down, right? Taking it all down. But I be taking it to learn it too, to find out how to apply it to my life. See, when you come here to church, it's not just for church stuff. This is about life. What you're going to learn tonight is going to determine what goes on tomorrow. I would hope that something I say tonight will change your perspective on how you see tomorrow when you wake up. I mean, that's the goal. We're supposed to be progressing. The Bible talks about progressive revelation. All right, so here we go. Revelation. What's a revelation? Come on. I'm talking to y'all. What's a revelation? Something revealed. All right, that's cool. Definition with a definition. What does it mean to be revealed? Show you something. All right, something that's unveiled. Uncovered. Right? Like something that you couldn't see before, and then it was revealed, voila, revealed to you. You didn't see it before, but now you see it, right? Everybody say revelation. Come on, say it again, revelation. It's tricky because there's a difference between revelation and rhema. There's levels to this. Everybody say levels. Uh-oh. So get a revelation. I'll tell you a quick story about a young man named Peter. Y'all know Peter, huh? Yeah. Peter in the Bible? Y'all know Peter, right? Yeah. Peter was kind of, he was a wild fella. Peter was cutting people's ears off. And said, Lord, let me come walk on the water. Peter was doing a lot of different stuff, all right? There's a place in the Bible, I don't have time to go there, but Peter started talking to the Lord, and Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Y'all remember that part? Y'all remember that? Everybody start talking, and everybody start preaching. Everybody had their chance to get their word. Some say you a liar. Some say you John the Baptist. Some say the prophet. He said, but now who you said that I am? Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We start shouting on that scripture. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Jesus started patting him on the back. All right, Simon, you blessed, boy. Okay. Blessed are you. Because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Revealed. Everybody say revealed. Revealed. Revelation. So Peter got a revelation, didn't he? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord for revelation. Everybody say praise the Lord for revelation. Praise the Lord. We need revelation. Come on, say we need revelation. So he got a revelation. He said, and thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? Remember, right? So it's a great thing. 11 scriptures later. Count them. I counted 11 scriptures later. 11. So I don't know how 11 scriptures translate in like clock time or whatever, but I'm sure it wasn't that long after. Not long after that, he got called the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. Whoa. Bless art thou, Peter, because I'm going to build a church on you. Because Jesus, God, to reveal something, you got a revelation that nobody else got. Get behind me, Satan. How can that be? How does that happen? Don't it feel like that sometimes in life? You got moved in the spirit and got a revelation, but then, I seen somebody never seen before. But then you don't see nothing that you ain't never seen before. How does that happen? How does that happen? But he got a revelation. Everybody say revelation. And where he got it from? He got it from God. He got it from God. Like it wasn't, you know, accident or something he read. He didn't have the Bible. Like he really got a revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord for that. But now what? It's uncovered. And you can see it. But now what? It is very tricky when you get touched. If we're touching, we fall out. We feel the spirit. Like you really literally, you really feel the spirit. Ain't no game in that. You feel the spirit. You are literally touched. You really have something moving, that something that pushes you in and it's put like it's a real touch. But it's tricky because if you don't realize that it needs to be finished, or it needs to be brought home, or it is a catalyst for you to do something, you'll think you've done something already. Revelation, you get a revelation. You start praying in tongues, get a revelation, the Holy Ghost show you something, right? All y'all know this has happened. You actually think you've accomplished something. come on, y'all. Come on. Look, and you ready to tell somebody too? Look. Call on. Look, let me share what the Lord told me today. I know personally for a fact. God be speaking to me, all right? And I hear him. I know I hear him. But I know personally for a fact that I get aggravated days later because I don't see nothing. You know who I'm aggravated with? Me. I know personally for a fact that you can get revelation and no manifestation. Okay. How many of y'all ever got a revelation before? How many of y'all got a revelation before and it didn't manifest? Okay, so I know it's possible. It's possible to get a revelation and still don't manifest it. So there's something wrong. There's something missing there. He got a revelation of Jesus, and a few minutes later, he got called the devil. He was totally out the way. He wasn't that, you're a bad person, Peter. No, you're the devil. For Jesus, the lover of my soul, to call me the devil, that must mean I'm way somewhere else. It's tricky. So you think you're smart. So you think you got something going on. You preaching to your cousins and you quoting all these scriptures you got, but ain't nothing going on in your life. I'll stand still. You're saying all this stuff, but ain't nothing happening. Touch but not change. Emotional, not devotional. Knowing but not walking. None of this means anything unless we walk it out. You know, we spend a lot of time coming to church, don't we? We come to church twice a week. Some of us come to prayer. Some of us come to prayer. Now, don't look at me like I know you wasn't at prayer Monday, but if you wasn't at prayer Monday, you wasn't at prayer Monday. All the Monday before that. All the one before that. When's the last time you've been to prayer? Never mind, I'm not going to ask you. You get a revelation, so you think you're somebody now. You think you got something. But you're just a hearer. You just got revealed something. She got revelation, but she got rhema. What's a rhema word? You know what a rhema word is? You thought rhema was a revelation. I don't know. You know what a rhema word is? Rhema word is an alive. Come on, everybody say alive.
Alive.
Come on, say it again. Alive.
Alive.
It's an alive word to you. What's the opposite of alive?
Dead.
Dead. So now we got a revelation. Praise the Lord for revelation. Praise the Lord for being touched. Praise the Lord for being emotional. Praise the Lord for knowing something, all right? Praise the Lord for the unveiling. Yeah, I'm glad that you saw something. Praise the Lord, because you ain't blind. You remember that man that Jesus laid hands on? He was trying to show us something. Remember that blind man Jesus laid hands on? He laid hands on him, and that man said, I could see, but I see men walking in the trees. Remember that? Remember that? In other words, I'm not in the dark anymore. It's not black anymore. So I can see better than I did, but I still don't see clear. Jesus laid hands on him again. He could see things fully clear. Jesus was trying to show us something. That you can get to a point where you got a revelation and you see a little bit better, but you really don't see the fullness because you don't live it. Listen, there's nothing greater than actually getting a revelation and then able to walk into it and see it manifest. I don't know if you have experienced that in any aspect, and maybe you have. But that thing right there, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That thing right there changes everything about how you feel about the word of God. Like to actually get a revelation and then I'll take a step. Now realize that your step is just a step of faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Your step is just a step of faith. You're not the finisher. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he begins it and he ends it. But all we got to do is receive the revelation and start stepping in that direction. And you step in that direction, and then he takes you and finishes the work.
Jesus.
He finishes it in you.
Thank you
and through you. There is nothing like that. Faith and grace. The apostle said it Sunday. He said, you know, everything is about faith and grace. You heard what he said Sunday? So ask faith and grace. I never get too reverendish, or too doctorish, or too Christianish, or churchish, or spiritualish. I never get so far over. Or I never start thinking that so much of myself that I don't look at the word like it's something new. You ever heard the statement "familiarity breeds contempt"? You ever heard that statement before? It's a true thing. What they're saying is contempt only means lack of respect. You're not giving it the respect that it deserves. You're not holding it as high or giving it as much honor as it deserves. You're kind of like, ah, that's just him. Ah, that's just the word, right? Right? And if you approach the word like you know it already, sometimes in our relationship with each other, sometimes we need to stop acting like we know each other so well and start approaching each other like it's new, giving each other some respect. You know, you can become familiar with your pastor. And then now you ain't got no respect, so now you can't receive. Y'all think y'all know that man, don't you? I say that man with respect. Y'all think y'all know him, huh? Y'all really think y'all know him. Some people shake your head, no, but I don't really know. Because if you gotta think you know him, because we don't listen to no CDs. You gotta think you know him, because LeroyThomas.tv ain't burning up all day. So you must think you know. Y'all know him. How long you been in the church? How long you been? 20 years, 25 years, 15, 10? You're never going to say it. But actions always speak louder than what? You never get so familiar with anything because you lose respect for it. You got all these scriptures in your head, And so you think you know something, but then you look and there's no manifestation. So like you're being too familiar. You're not allowing the Holy Ghost to show you something new on the inside of that scripture. Faith and grace. Faith, because you use the words faith and grace, and we all come up with a million scriptures on faith and grace, right? We all know a bunch of scriptures about faith and grace. We do. We know a bunch of stuff about faith and grace, right? But are we operating in faith and grace? That's what I asked the Holy Ghost, with faith and grace. Everything works. Everything. Everything works by faith and grace. The just shall live by grace. By grace you are saved. How? It's everything, right? So I started asking the Holy Ghost. I said, well, what's faith? We throw out acting and believing on the word of God, right? Praise the Lord for that, right? What's actually faith? What's actually faith? That's our faith and grace. Faith and grace. Everybody say faith and grace.
Faith.
Come on, say it again. Faith and grace.
Faith.
So the faith, like faith. I'm saved by grace, but through faith. So I got to go through faith, right? 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 Faith is the way that I go through. Faith is the way that I live. Faith is the way that I do all these things. I'm saved by faith. Like I had to confess in my mouth and believe in my heart. That's by faith, right? Right? So what is faith? You know what faith is? Faith is taking a step on the water, not knowing if you're gonna drown or not. Now hold up. Now we about to find out how much faith you living by. We make a lot of plans. Many other plans of a man. There's a way that seems right to a man. We got a lot of stuff that we didn't set up. We got retirement funds, and we got plans after this. How you know your plan is the plan? Can I teach y'all something about Jesus? Amen. Can I teach y'all something about Jesus? See, it's not hitting home. I'm sorry. I ain't trying to hit that hard. Can I teach something about Jesus? Can I tell you how much Jesus planned? Yeah, he did this. He said, as I hear, I judge. That's the plan. What's your 5-year goal? You don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. Jesus said, as I hear, I judge. Now, the word as I hear, has two connotations, because as means like just as, or it's just like it, right? So just like I heard it, I judge it, right? But an as also has time in it, right? Like it has a time connotation, which means when I hear, that's when I judge. So as I hear, I judge. So just like I heard it, when I heard it, that's when I do something. I don't do nothing else no other time. I don't make no other moves. I don't try to make my way, because my way is what got me where I got right now. The plan, we are most of the time we're not living by faith. If you know how it all gonna go, that's not faith. There is no such thing as faith if you know. See, God did something for us. He'll give us prophecy, right? But even prophecy is conditional. Even prophecy don't have to come to pass if you don't act right. If you don't act. I said like I want to. Act right. Faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith
is actually taking a step. Faith is you don't really believe me, Derek, if I tell you stand up, stand right there, and then fall back. You know me? You know me, Derek? You know me pretty good, right? Right? You know pretty good. You know I'm not trying to hurt you. Have I ever tried to hurt you? You know me better than that, right? You know I got your back, right? Tell the truth now. So if I tell you to stand up here and I say, look, don't even look at me, but just fall back. I got you. Just lean back. I got you. Now you know me, don't you? Right? So because you know me, come on. He said that time, I don't know. I'm over here. Now turn around. Can't see me, huh? Don't try to look on the screen either. Matter of fact, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Right? Now you trust me? Huh? Oh, don't you looking at? What you close your eyes? Follow the instructions. You trust me? You know I wouldn't let you fall to bust your head on this floor, right? You know for a fact, huh? Right? So you trust me. Fall back. You saw the style, you like. Right? But you know. Go ahead, fall back. You know that I'm going to catch you. Why? Because you know me. You know me. We talking about we know God, right? How much we know God when God tells us jump and we don't do nothing? How much do I really know? How much faith am I really operating in? Am I really the just that's living by faith? Sow that seed. Well, Lord, you know I got, listen. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it, bro. I love you too, bro. Sow that seed. Well, Lord, I gotta pay for this. Who you talking to right now? Who you talking to like he ain't know? I was reading the scripture the other day. He said he know. Look, I'm reading the Lord's Prayer because the Lord's Prayer is powerful. Lord Jesus. And it ain't got nothing to do with you. It's all about, all right. But right before that, he said, the Lord know you need all these things. Don't pray like the Gentiles pray with vain repetitions and all that. Because I know you need all this stuff. I sent a little text out yesterday, and I ain't trying to go down this road. But it said, if all your prayers were answered right now, would it change the world or just yours? Your prayers that you pray today and the ones you pray every day, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this. Can I give you a key? Many times you start asking God for deliverance in something, and he's going to give you something to do or someone to give into or someone to help in order to help yourself. A lot of times he's not going, it's the most foolish thing in the world. The foolishness of the cross is the most foolish thing in the world for us to be delivered by him dying. That I may live through his dying. That's the foolish, it's the most foolish thing in the world. We'd have been around and say, no, Lord, just like Peter. No, Lord, they ain't going to kill you. Get behind me, Satan. All right, Holy Ghost. How much faith are you really living by? When's the last time you did something that caused you just got to get out there? Now we're going to kill fanaticism and being fanatic and just start doing a bunch of random stuff. Faith, you got to be faith in the word of God, all right? Not just in the Bible, but when he tells you to do something, then you do it. Hold on, when he tells you to do something, you do it. Now, I'm prone to believe that he's telling you to do more than you're listening to. Because he wants you to manifest more than you are. So how much faith are we really walking in? Or do we just know how it goes? So faith, stepping on the water. Faith is being on the edge of the cliff. And when he say jump, you jump. Now, you know you can't fly. Don't you? You know you can't fly. Hold on. Make sure you know you can't fly. Don't tell him with the scripture, I can do all things. No, hear me all that. With God, all things possible. I understand all that. But you at the cliff right now. He says, jump. Now, he going to tell you jump because he know what he's talking about. He's not just going to tell you jump just so y'all going to be playing a game. Like hopscotch. No. He going to tell you jump for a reason. So you're at the edge of the cliff. He said, jump. Where's your faith? Now, you know that you can't make it that 100 feet across the canyon. We know that this is a fact. The best long jumpers can't jump that far. All right? But he tell you, jump. Well, God, you know I can't make it across. What does that got to do with anything? Why do we keep talking to God like that? Why do we keep living that way outside of faith? He already know. He know your infirmities. He know your shortcomings. He know your crazy thoughts. He know all of that already. So when he says something to you with all that in mind already. Listen to me. Did y'all hear that? When God speaks to you, you don't have to say nothing else. When God speaks to you, he spoke to you with all your conditions in mind already. He already knew. So he already knows you can't jump across the canyon. But yet he tells you to jump. Must be something special he's trying to do. Must be something special he's trying to make happen through you. Must be something special he's trying to show you about trusting him and loving him and how much he loves you. All you got to do is jump. That's it. We make life hard because we don't live by faith. We make life difficult because we do not, our lives, the Bible said it's just to live by faith. Our lives are not justified because we don't live by faith. Our finances, our health, our families, our understanding is not justified because we're not doing it by faith. All you got to do is jump. Everything by faith and grace. All you got to do is jump. It's got to be, that's how faith works, because you don't really know what's going to happen next. You don't really know how, I mean, you know the circumstance already. You know it's rocks down there. You're going to bust your head if you hit the ground. We already know that. You know the facts already. But what's the truth? Come on, y'all. Come on. What is the truth? So now faith, I got to jump. It's not faith if I know how it's going to come out already. I know God got me, right? Like I got, but it's not faith if I'm comfortable.
That's right.
If right now, if you're comfortable in your life and everything, you're not living by faith. And you may be cool with that. I'm not. You may be okay with being comfortable and never being in a position where you break out in a sweat because you got to do something you ain't never done before. You may be okay with that, but that got to be a boring life. Come on now. No matter what, let that horse on out in the pasture. You know the old horse, they let him on out in the pasture. Let him go on out to die. If it's comfortable, it's not faith. You really thought Jesus was comfortable? You really thought he was comfortable in everything that he had to do? That beating and that whooping that he took? You thought he was tripping when he said, if you can't let this cup pass. No, he was serious. It was a serious thing. But by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
Come on, say, by faith.
By faith.
And the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yes, and the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the
faith.
What kind of faith? Of the Son of God. You've been trying to live by your faith. Your faith ain't worth nothing. Your faith go by this far. And that's it. No, I got to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Love me. Everybody say he loves me. Come on, say it again. He loves me. Come on, say it again. He loves me. There's so much power in the fact that he loves me. God loves me. We've been saying God. Let's say God loves me. Say it. Come on, close your eyes. Say he loves me. Come on, say. Come on. Come on, I know you love me. There's power in the fact that God loves you. What do you do for people that you love? Will you let them die? No. Will you let them fall? No. Will you give them everything you got? Yes. Will you give them the shirt off your back? Yes. Will you let them go hungry?
No.
But that's you. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more my Heavenly Father? Someone say God loves me. I ain't trying to get over here, but God loves me. Say it again. Now your faith should be in that. Everything that you do should be in the fact that God loves you. If God loves me, you hear me? Oh, y'all listen to me. If God loves me, he will not let me fall. If God loves me, when he speaks to me, he will finish the work that he began in. God loves me. Say it. Say it again. Your faith, you should. I know you get up in the morning, you start reading real quick and start praying in tongues real fast. Because you're trying to, whatever, I don't know what, sometimes we pray in tongues, I don't know where we're trying to go, what we're trying to get to, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, how? So when you're praying the Holy Ghost, he's trying to spread that thing out in you. No, a lot of times we thought that was talking about he's putting love in us for somebody else, and don't get me on that track, because it is for somebody else, all right? But you got to love your neighbor as you love.
Yourself.
Listen, so now, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, y'all gonna pray in the Holy Ghost tomorrow, right? Some of y'all gonna pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost on the way home after this type of message, right? I'm gonna pray in the Holy Ghost, right? He's spreading out that love of God in your heart. He's spreading out the fact that I love you. I'm covering you. I'm totally covering you. The Lord said something today to me. Now I get it, because I was talking to somebody, and I know revelation, unveiling, right? It's an unveiling. But then he said this statement to me, and I didn't know what he was saying. And I didn't, and I kind of caught it all, but I get it right now. He said an unveiling. Because when something is veiled, it's covered. When something is veiled, when you put the veil over something, it's covered up. Yeah. It's encompassed. It's surrounded. He said it to me today when we were texting. He said, unveiling. I ain't know what that means. I don't even know if that's a real word, unveiling. But I get it now because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart to unveil, envelope. All right, unveil me, like cover me all the way up with his love on the inside. Cover my whole heart, my whole understanding with his love. He covers me up. God loves me, so he will not let me fall. He will not leave me alone. He will not let me go under. He won't do it. I could care less what the circumstance looks like. Since when did circumstance dictate what was going to happen? You tell me a time that Jesus came up to a circumstance and it didn't change because he was there. Storms and dead. People dead. People can't walk. People can't see. Boys in the cave tearing themselves up with demons everywhere. I don't care about your circumstances. God don't care about your circumstances. God loves. We put our faith in a lot of different things. We put our faith in a lot of different things. But our faith, the Bible says faith works by
love.
What love? The love of God. God loves you. No, don't say nothing right now. Let me talk to you for a second. Don't say nothing. Don't you say God loves me. Let me talk to you. God loves you. God loves you so much. John 3:16 says, for God so loved. That wasn't just for the beginning when we got saved. That's still going on. That's still right now. That scripture, John 3:16, still applies to you. You know, Jesus just didn't save you. He's saving you right now. He's on the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. Listen, for God, he didn't say God loved the world. For God loved the world. Did he get, no, for God so loved. God really, 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 really. He really loves you. Even to the point where the angels got to say, what is man that thou art mindful of them? Who? What is? You keep seeing they messing up. You keep seeing all this stuff, but you still love them. What can separate me from the love of God? God loves me. God loves you. He loves you more than you know. So now my faith has to be growing in that love. Like I gotta realize more and be more clear and then live more in the fact that God loves me. He will not let you fall. He knows all that stuff that you're believing for. So now, when you pray, pray after this, man. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When you pray, pray like that. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. So I didn't see a list. You know, I'm believing for my husband. But I'm believing for my wife. Lord, send me some money. I didn't hear none of that now. It's typically our prayers, though. The stuff I was just saying, it's typically our prayers. We think those things are going to fix everything. There is nothing that fixes this human virus that we have but the love of God. There is nothing that will fix the shortcomings that we have but the love of God. Your habits, your ailments, those things that you can't beat, there's nothing that's going to fix that but the love of God. Not a 12-step program. I guess they work sometimes. Not a 12-step program. Not a chant. Not a whatever it is. There's nothing that's going to fix that but the love of God. What can wash away my sins? That's it. All that comes in, that's it. That's it. That shed blood represents his love. fact that a man love you that much, he gonna bleed out for you? God loves me. Like, do this tomorrow for you go off in the tongues, right? And before you start working to try to get to 1 John 4, we don't have to go there, but dog boy, I ain't touched nothing in my nose. But I did though. 1 John 4 says, and he says it a couple times. It says, we only love God because he what? You know that, don't you?
Yes,
do you know that?
Yes.
Why are we not walking that? Okay. I start quoting scriptures. Y'all quote them with me. We only, listen. How many of y'all love God? You can only do that because he loved you first. Like, you don't even have love unless somebody gave it to you already. It's like the breath that you breathe and the life that you live in. You don't even have that. Your life is not your own. So we only love God because he. So now I got to flip it. Sometimes we look backwards, which is why we don't make progress. Right? If you're driving to your house that way, but you keep driving that way, you're never going to get home. You're never going to make it to your destination if you keep driving the wrong way. Now you're in a car and got a tank full of gas and you know how to drive. But if you go the wrong way, you're never going to make it home right there. Y'all closer than you think.
Amen.
To what all the stuff that we be throwing out there during our prayer times, you're closer than you think to your manifestation. You're closer than you think. But sometimes we live backwards. So how is backwards? He said, Montreal, how we live backwards? Well, we only love God because he first loved us. So here we go. We're not living to love. We're living from love. We're not doing things to get love. We're doing things from love. Here's the difference now. Come on. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now it's very tricky because we can get in the church and get caught up and start doing things to try to prove to God that we love him. We lift our hands and we do all these different things. But listen what's going on. We're not living to love. We're living from love. My actions got to be from love, not trying to get to love because I already got love. Do y'all get it? So now I'll give you another one. The Bible says I can do all things. How? Not to Christ, but through Christ. That means I got to go through him. I got to come from him first. And I can do how many things? All things can get done if I go through Christ. Now it's tricky. Once again, it's tricky because you can start doing the things that you do. You can pray and you can read and you can do different things to try to get to Jesus. And you missed the point. You already got it. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. So we should be living, operating in faith from that, not trying to get to that. The works that I do, there's two different works in the Bible. Talk about you're saved by grace. It's not of yourself, but it's the gift of God. It's not that you did a lot of stuff. It's nothing that you could do to get saved. It's by grace. It's because somebody loved you, all right? Yeah. Right? But then also it says, do it the works in James chapter 1. Even Jesus said, the works that I do, so you do also.
Yes, sir.
So two different types of work. Which one are you doing? Are you working from or are you trying to work to? If you're trying to work to, you're working outside of a covenant mindset. Which is why we may not have manifestation. Because God loves me, I have the ability to do everything that he's enabled me to do. Everything that he says, I can do it because he loves me already. Do y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
So I get back. I'm going to jump back in a couple minutes. Faith and grace. Everybody say faith and grace, right?
Faith.
So we already know faith is just jumping on the water, right? Like, at his word. At thy word, I let down the net. You know Peter didn't start walking until he said, Lord, that's you? Yeah, it's me. If that's you, let me come out there. Come. That's when the faith, all right? Don't get out there talking about walking on no water and you ain't got no word. Amen. I'm looking at the camera so the apostle can see me if he's looking. And I ain't telling y'all to be no fanatics. The difference between faith and fanatics. But now I step out. I'm in an unsure. I don't really know. All I got is a word to stand on. All I got is a word from the Father. That's all you need. One thing need. That's all I need, right? But grace. Grace makes me better than I am by myself. It gives me something that I didn't deserve, like that I just couldn't have come up with. It's just favor. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
It just makes me better. You hear me, Brandon? It just makes me better. But just more than what I could have ever done if I worked for 50 years, he gives me favor to make it happen. Everything is by faith and grace. So faith, jump. The word comes, you jump. Right? Now you know you can't fly. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know you can't fly, but yet you start flying. Yet the wind hits your arm and you take off in the air. And not only do you fly to save you from hitting the ground, but you take off and go higher in the sky. Now you know you can't do that because you wasn't doing it before that. If you could have done it on your own, you would have done it. Tell the truth, all this stuff, if you could have done it on your own, why we keep trying to do it on our own? If you could do it on your own, you'll have it already, right? How many dreamers we got in here? You got dreamers. You got things you're aspiring to, right? But you don't have them. Right? Can we be honest that we don't have them? So, but you dream about it. You thought about it. And if you could have done it on your own, you would have done it already. But you couldn't do it on your own. It is an obvious fact that you can't do it on your own. Right? So now grace takes me and makes me better than I am by myself. But I don't really get to grace unless I go through. I'm saved by grace. I'll say it again. I'm saved by grace. So that means I got to jump first for grace to take a place. Yeah, he's trying to see where you at. You got to make a move first before grace can come upon you to make you better than you are by yourself.
Thank you, Father.
You got to step out. You got to do something different. By faith. Everybody say by faith.
By faith.
Hebrews 11 is a great chapter. You should read it sometimes. It's talking about all the things about faith. He's talking about Noah. By faith, Noah built an ark. Nobody had ever built an ark before. They didn't know what an ark was. There was no rain. There was no waters nowhere. What is an ark? But by faith, Noah knew God loved him. I'll say it again. Noah knew God loved him. So when God started speaking, Noah started building. And it preserved them all for something to come that they didn't even know it was going to be like that. By faith, it talks about Abraham. By faith, Abraham had all kind of faith, father of faith. Abraham stepped out and left his kinfolks. He said, get thee out from thy kindred into a land that I'm going to show you. So that means he didn't see it already if I'm going to show it to you. He couldn't see it already if I'm going to show it to you. So Abraham had to actually leave without even knowing if he was really going to get to the promised land. Abraham did it again. God finally gave Abraham an heir, gave him Isaac. Because they knew that if Abraham said, well, Lord, how are you going to do all this for me? Seeing you're not going to continue this on. Finally, in the old age, we know the story about Sarah laughing and all this different stuff. And finally, they had the baby, right? Had Isaac. So now he got him. He got his promised child. Isaac represented the promise. Like Isaac's literal life represented the promise. As long as Isaac was living, he knew that God was going to do what he was going to do for him. But then God says, take your son and get your stuff and go up the mountain. Give me that boy back. Sacrifice him to me. By faith, we got to walk. Would you walk? Would you walk? Would you wrap your child up that you didn't believe God for? Would you wrap them up? What's that, Isaac? What's that thing in your life that you don't want to give up? Would you wrap it up and go up the mountain? We don't know. He walks up. He don't know what's going to happen. All he knows is God gave him a word. God didn't say, take your child up there and I'm going to have a ram up there. We're going to switch them out when we get up to the top. He didn't say that. So by faith, Abraham had to go up there and take that boy up on that thing.
Come on,
even to the point of lifting the knife to kill him. Now, if he would have got bitter, he wouldn't have heard the Lord say, stop. You got to read it on your own. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.